commenced and continuing with the Bonsai Massacre, atrocities committed in the ICE detention center, on today's Native Latin and Black Lost History Show.
Nobody really want fuego. Masayo will bring fire down worse than Waco. Why you some coffee and Lego? Your egos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mato. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Masayo ain't playing no wagos. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all the wicked atrocities they owe. For all the wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinity Tobago, I'm spitting these words so our Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it, cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sin so you complete the test, then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego.
Woo.
From the one that's super dead. Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
How's your sound? You good over there?
Yeah, I'm good.
I sound too high pitched. I don't know.
What the, I don't know. Did I lose some bass in my voice?
Put your personality voice on. Good.
I don't know, bro. You see, we can't have anything nice. We can't, bro. I don't know what happens week to week. What goes on in here?
Who's Fava? Who's Fava?
Oh, man. Welcome to the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. Shalom. Happy Sabbath. I am Captain Yahshua.
Shalom. Most High Christ bless. Captain Amariah.
Soldier Jehoiakim.
This annoys me. It doesn't sound right. Something's not right.
Change mics?
No. I don't know. Let me see.
There is no snare in your headphones. Test. It's something wrong with my mic.
Yes.
There is something wrong with my mic.
It definitely is.
Yep. Damn. Okay. All right. I'll live with it. I ain't gonna change the mic now. I can't do all that because I gotta take it off to this and do this.
Right.
Well, you just want to put it closer to me? You're just saying I should just put it closer to me?
Nah, man. You're the number one. Oh, I see. This sounds so much better. You're the number one rep, bro.
Nobody else. Truly appreciate it.
All right. She was weird. I'm used to having my blue mic there, but okay, I'll work with it. All right. I really hope nothing's wrong with that mic because that's an expensive mic. All right. All praises. We're here. Apologies for the technical difficulties. I'll tell you, I missed 1 week and I come back and I don't know what the hell I'm doing here anymore. Housekeeping, 516-531-9797 is the call-in number. If you're looking for more understanding, more knowledge on the scriptures and your true heritage, you can go to www.israelunite.org, israelunite.org. And if you're looking to buy any Israelite apparel, music, literature, almost anything, you name it, you can go to www.originalloyalty.com, originalloyalty.com. It's the hoodie that I'm wearing.
Original Loyalty.
It's very nice.
It's very nice.
Show on
the camera. 12 times.
Bring it out.
Fire.
Right. Get that. Not today. Today. The store's closed. It's the Sabbath. You shouldn't be trying. Meanwhile, I'm over here sitting here all cold.
I must say.
And it's not because, you know, it's original loyalty, but these things are very comfortable. Like, you know, I've had the other one. I lost two, so I was very upset about it. on two consecutive trips. I had one with the little, you know, Israel United check hit, that black one. That was actually my favorite one. It was just, you know, kind of low-key, subtle, you know? And then I lost my purple one that had that full joint on the back, full logo on the back.
Okay, yeah,
I left one at a rental car, and lost the phone, so they had it.
Nice.
And I left one at airport security, man. I don't even remember what airport it was. Was it Memphis?
Freaking looking at me like I'm.
thank you, Aquarius.
No, I was hearing it too.
I was definitely hearing it too.
But she didn't go out on that limb with me though.
Well, I knew that it wasn't that, and I knew that it wasn't this. I was just waiting for some integrity to.
You wanted the brother to
raise up some integrity. Okay, all right.
Okay, so let's jump right in. Actually, before I get into the abuse in the ICE detention centers, which, you know, it's this stuff is actually, I'm looking at dates of some of these articles. It's all this year. Mm-hmm. This is stuff like from the summer. I got something here from November of 2018 I'm talking about. And it's only really kind of, so it's interesting that articles and stuff were written on it. Not on a lot of major look. I'm looking at this. The New York Times wrote something in July 17th. But pretty much it's like these PBS, Dallas News, Aldea News. I don't even know what that is. The Hill. Notice it's not really mainstream with the exception of one. With the exception of one. So this stuff is far underreported. Like, we're going to read stuff about sexual assault inside these ICE detention centers. So you want to talk about the curses now, happening now. You know what I'm saying? There's just a lot of hateful. There was one I was looking for that came out earlier that they were showing them, like, dragging kids around and stuff like that. Recent. And I can't find it. But anyway, what I did want to start with was... oh, gosh, I got to find the other one. Actually, before I jump into that, I want to post the links and I'm going to find this other article. What I want to talk about, and in case you want to comment on it or if there's something else you want to comment on as I move into it, let me mute this. I apologize. Is I was reading an article that they were talking about the historic elections of the freshman representatives for the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... Just having love for your people, man, you always want to root for your people, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm seeing like this Ocasio-Cortez,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, she's Ephraim. She's from New York. You know, very intelligent, very, very outspoken. We've yet to see what she really stands for and how she does things, which is going to be the crux of kind of what I'm going to talk about when I speak about that. And, you know, it's kind of like, damn, okay. You know, like when Sotomayor got on the Supreme Court, I was like, damn, okay. But then I understand that she's entering into a domain that's polluted.
Right.
And it's not, you know, like, so it's a bittersweet. It's a conflict. It's nice to see our people up and doing something and, you know, being somewhere. But at the same time, and the article that I'm going to eventually read is going to tell you exactly that. At the same time, it's you get the tata quieto, right? You get the little slap, right? The papau, right? The papau stick of, okay, now you got elected,
right?
And that's exactly what's said in the article when I read it. What you say as a candidate is not what you say as an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of it, when I get to it, it says New House Dems get early political lesson.
Dang.
And even their peers in their same party, or like you're gonna read some of this stuff. We're gonna read it, and you're gonna see it, and it goes to show you why you can't really celebrate these things when our people get elected to these offices and stuff like that, because it's gonna change. It reminds me of the movie The Distinguished Gentleman with Eddie Murphy,
mm-hmm.
right? It was one of his last few good movies, right? And in that movie, he was a con man, and he had a little crew with him, and he was like, "Listen, the ultimate con is let's get elected to Congress." So he gets elected to Congress, and he goes in there to be a comment. The whole thing, and it shows you basically, it's comedy, but you know there's truth to these things. It shows you how corrupt and polluted the whole system is. And then at the end, he gets an attack of morality, and, you know, he tries to stand up against the establishment and do the right thing. And, you know, but you know that that's never going to last in that circle,
right.
You know? You know, Trump was saying drain the swamp, and it's like, you know, if you drain the swamp, there's no swamp, there'd be no government. Because the whole thing is a swamp, right? It's just this disgusting, polluted thing. But
I love Trump.
Yeah, yeah. but anyway, so there was two Native Americans. I'm going to look for that article, too. Two Native American women, and not like the fake one that Trump says fake, because she is fake. So they always getting on him because he's calling her Pocahontas.
Right.
And, you know, mockingly. And, you know, she is full of crap. She's not really Native American. So, but there was two Native American women that got it like that. You know, they're talking about there was like a Muslim woman or whatever, or Arab. I don't know if she's Muslim as far as religion. Muslim's really the religion, not the identity. unlike Israelites, which is the identity.
Right.
Right. And Jews even, rather than Jewish. But so I found it interesting because I'm looking at all this, and then I see this article that talks about how, A, they got to learn how to operate now that they're here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be watching all of it closely, especially Ocasio-Cortez. I have a feeling they're going to try to pilfer her up. You know, just like Obama rose. Mm-hmm. I remember what they did with Obama when he had won the Senate race. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if it was 4 or 8 years before he actually ran for election. Mm-hmm. And they were, I'm telling you, it's all like an agenda, the way they set this stuff up. So she might be the next, you know, smoking gun that they're going to try to put up there. And she's so, I mean, I don't think she clearly wouldn't run in a couple years like that. You know, they groom this thing and they set this thing up. You have
right.
to understand this.
Right.
I remember one time there was a little girl that did a little something where she traced the lineage of all presidents.
Yes.
And they all yeah. had a common descendant in like one of the kings in Britain or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
By some way or measure or something like that. And that's not a coincidental thing, right? So I say all that, and then I'm going to let you comment. And, you know, if you got a scripture, bring out while I post these links and get these articles ready. To say that, you know, what I'm going to read and show here is how the system is so corrupt. And then I want to start with the political thing, because then we're going to show the ICE thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to say that you stand and you're going to operate in the system, and then you see what's happening to your people in these detention centers and nothing being done about it. It's like, you know, the whole thing is just hypocrisy and BS. And, you know, somebody made a statement. Trump is holding down the government because he wants $5 billion for a wall. And there's so many other things that $5 billion can be spent on. If they're going to fabricate the $5 billion, right, because that's another thing. They're just going to freaking come up with that thing anywhere, right, because where the hell is the $5 billion? Do you know how many things that could be used for, like in the country, for other things? You know what I'm saying? So this whole premise of poverty and everything, I don't know. It's just, it was driving me nuts, man, because I'm seeing all these news articles pop up and I'm just like, my gosh, this place got to burn. I was
yeah,
it has to.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to. It's just so much BS. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead, jump on these links. If you want to put something up.
Give me Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. All right. We'll start at verse 15 and then we'll jump to verse 46. All right. Here in these last days, We have to understand, like Captain has said, that the identity is that we are the Israelites. The blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, we've been stripped from our heritage due to our disobedience. So, in coming back to it, then we have an obligation to give our people the sense of what these scriptures mean. And I start in here for a reason. Let's read this.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 15. But it shall come to pass, that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
So all these curses came upon the Israelites, the blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans for not keeping God's laws. All right, jump to verse 46.
Verse 46. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever.
So the they is referring to the curses. So people ask the question, well, how do you know that the blacks and Hispanics are the Israelites? We know because of the prophecies and because of the curse that were put upon our seed forever. In the crafty counsel that they did in splitting us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff out there that the Southern Kingdom, right, who's the, you know, African-Americans, West Indians, Haitians, so on and so forth, they can identify themselves with the curses much easier than the Northern Kingdom can, because all this stuff has been hidden for so long, right? So it's very important that the stuff that comes out, like the whole Ponce massacre, all these things that happen, all the atrocities that are happening to Northern Kingdom, all it does is show, hey, that they're the Israelites,
right?
So all this stuff, I mean, there's a balance with everything, right? Now give me Psalms 83. With all this truth coming out, then that's when the devil has to stand up and say, okay, well, there's truth coming out, so now we got to do other things to eliminate them learning who they are. So then they do things like this sister being put into the, you know, being elected and everything else. That just to give our people the illusion of inclusion and to dumb us down once again. Psalms 83.
Psalms chapter 83 and verse 1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
Read.
They have taken crafty counsel against thy people. and consulted against thy hidden ones.
They've taken crafty counsel against the Israelites, and they've consulted against us. Read on.
They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance.
So that's what's happening now. All this truth is being put into the earth, right? You have the prophets hitting the streets, the highways and hedges, like Christ commanded us, to teach the people, to give them the identity of who they are and what's required of them. So to counterbalance that, then Satan says, you know what? Let's do other things to keep them dumbed down and asleep as to who they are. Like they did the whole thing with Barack Obama. They put him in office.
Mm-hmm.
Our people lost their damn mind. Like they were calling him like the next Moses and all these. All he did was give us cell phones. That's all he did. All right. Obama did nothing but help push the sodomite agenda to further destroy our people. It's going to be the same thing with any other elected official that gets groomed and risen up. It's just to put us right back to sleep again.
That's right.
Let me see. Give me Jeremiah 17, verse 4. Jeremiah 17 and verse 4.
This is the book.
Because the good thing, the thing that we have on our side the most, is that you can't stop what God says is going to happen. His people are waking up, and we're coming back to our true heritage. Read.
Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 4. And thou, even thyself, shall discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee, and I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For ye have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever.
So the prophecy was that at one point in time, all 12 tribes of Israel will be stripped from our heritage. That's why we so ignorantly subscribe to these different titles, and we cleave to these different religions and philosophies of men versus the heritage that God gave us. Our lands, our language, and our laws. But like I said, all praise the Most High, through the atonement of his son, we are now being grafted back to the Father. All right. This all this stuff with ICE, it's like sad that it's happening to our people, but it's also a good thing because then our Northern Kingdom brothers can see like, damn, we are really going through it too.
It's necessary.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right, all praises. And it's great that you brought that out because as I'm looking at all this, you know, you have to understand something. This is the type of stuff, and this is why I made the statement that I said that you shouldn't feel bad about wanting to root for your people. And if you see your people in you know, achieving something, you know, that is a positive thing. But you got to look at it in the context of what is really righteous, what is really honorable, what is really – and, you know – we really should have that joy, you know, in those type of people with those type of skills coming in and repenting in this and then making those things happen. But we also have to operate in a space of dealing with, you know, Esau's kingdom and how we do stuff. Right.
Right.
So let me jump into this so you can see what they're saying. Right. So it says it's a lot of women. Right. It's mostly women. So that was the big thing that they're jumping on. Right. It says that there's a woman making history as the 116th Congress is sworn in. And I stand corrected. It was a Muslim, not just Arab. She's Muslim that got elected as a rep. Right. But that's not what I want to focus on. And then they have this woman. They have Deb Haaland and Charisse Davids, the first Native American women in Congress, right? So it says Democrat Charisse Davids and Deb Haaland are the first Native American women elected to Congress after a midterm election in which a historic number of Native Americans won federal, state, and local offices. Davids won in Kansas. Davids is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation, and Haaland is a part of the Pueblo of Laguna, according to their campaigns. David is also – see, here's where they fuck it up. Part of my language, I didn't notice. David is also the first openly LGBT member of Congress from Kansas.
There it is. Mm. We had to secure that one in there. Sneak that right in there.
Yep.
Hey, that's gonna line up perfect though with the scriptures that I'm gonna bring out for this thing, man. And then they have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, youngest woman ever elected to Congress. After defeating veteran Democratic Rep. Joseph Crowley of New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, 29, is now the youngest woman ever elected to Congress. Cortez, a former organizer for Bernie Sanders' presidential campaign and an outspoken critic of President Donald Trump, has fueled national attention with an aggressive social media presence and a progressive platform that calls for generational, racial, and ideological change. Mm. Now, she, I think, to me, out of everybody, has the ability to kind of, you know, really maybe send a message and speak out for her people. And you would think that that's what she would stay at. We've yet to see, all right? But you got to understand the corruption that comes with being in this system. And that's why I referenced the distinguished gentleman and all that stuff like that. So
how old is she?
29.
Bro, yeah. Bro,
yeah. So I'm keeping my eye on her, though. I mean, I've seen her speak. I like what she says. I understand that she can't go out there, and she sounds like she's for her people. I understand you can't go out there and speak that exclusion right. message unless you're Donald Trump. You know, then you can get away with it with him, if you're him.
Right.
But we'll see. So she posted an image of the women that got elected, and you know, the Gadite sisters look Gad. They're not like the Elizabeth Warren Gadites.
Right. Right.
They look Gad. Just one of them's a dyke. So, Connecticut has their first black congresswoman. All right. Massachusetts, black congresswoman. Latina in Texas. That's surprising for Texas. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So here's my point. So they're talking about this historical thing, right? And these women were hot rods. Like, you know, Cortez making statements, you know, all of them, they're just making statements. So I need to read this so you can see the cut. So they flying high, right? Yeah, we got elected. We in. We going to make some change, right? It says, New House Dems get early political lessons. So listen to this. The education of the star-studded class of House freshmen has begun. That's how they start Well, just that line right there tells you that it's all bullshit. Like, the whole freaking establishment is so full of crap. Like, you're going to come in thinking that you're going to do right and that you're going to be able to withstand, right? This is why Micah, man, it tells you this is not your rest because it's polluted. So you're thinking, listen, this is my way. This is what I'm saying. It's like, you know, that's that zeal that our people have for something, the passion that they have, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not according to knowledge. And they're still relying and counting on this. And remind me of that because I'm going to bring out Isaiah 30 about that. Trusting in the shadow of Egypt, trusting in those things to make those changes. And the only thing that's going to change us is these laws, statutes, and commandments in the faith of Christ, the black Messiah. Mm-hmm. Right? So it says the education of the star-studded class of House freshmen has begun. Lesson one. Meaning there's a lot that they got to learn. This is just lesson one.
Class is in session.
This is lesson one. Listen closely. Speaking with the bluntness of a candidate can produce swift and uncomfortable results. So they're letting you know when you're a candidate, that's the representative of what gets you into office. But once you're in office, mm-hmm. it's a different ballgame. Mm. So it's letting you know that the campaigning is all bullshit. So when you're on there and you're watching these people campaign, telling you what they're going to do and how they're going to do it, it's a sales pitch. Mm-hmm. It's a sales pitch. It's a heavy sales pitch. Because he says, speaking with the bluntness of a candidate can produce swift and uncomfortable results. How you speak when you're a candidate versus once you're elected is two different things. You're expected to not be yourself, to not go in on the platform that you went in, and you better temper that thing down and pat that thing down and play your role. Rep. Rashida Tlaib learned that before lunch Friday when her profane remarks the night before vowing to impeach President Donald Trump drew almost no support and plenty of pushback from members of her party. So not from Republicans, but from Democrats. It's been pretty intense, she said, in a brief hallway interview Friday. She reported to the House to face her colleagues. That's what she was saying because people basically started emailing her, reaching out to her, be like, yo, what are you doing?
Right.
Like, wait a second. That's like when you put a overzealous brother up to teach and he cursing everybody out. You're like, whoa, bro, what are you doing? Give me that.
Right.
Give me the mic. Go. No, don't even hold posts. Stand on the side.
Go hold flyers.
Go. So she said it's been pretty intense. It says hours after I'm probably saying her name wrong. Tlaib was sworn in as part of the history making class of freshmen that helped flip the House of to Democratic control, she ran afoul of the widespread sense among her colleagues that they should focus for now on health care and other policies rather than impeachment, at least until Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation concludes. We're going to impeach the motherfucker. That's what she said. That is a little...
I don't know, bro.
I don't see a picture of her, so I'm not sure. I got to look. I'm going to look and see. wait, now I gotta look. Rashida? I don't know. Rashida. Let me see. I gotta see if there's a picture of her. Rashida. Say something. What do you say something? I'm looking it up.
Yo, this whole classes and lesson thing, mm-hmm. You know what's funny about this is that I guarantee everything that's numbered and gone over right here that Trump himself doesn't follow any of this.
No, she's Muslim. She's Muslim.
Oh, okay.
She's Muslim.
Arabic?
Let me see. Palestinian, yeah.
Okay.
The West Bank of Ramallah.
That is pretty bold, though, for her to come out and say it like,
especially
like that.
As a.
Well, I thought it was dope, but it's just funny how they were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down now, slow whoa. Down, slow down. So she said, we're going to impeach the mother effer. I'm not going to keep repeating it. I said it once so you can get the effect, all right? Tlaib exclaimed during a party Thursday night hosted by the liberal activist group Move On, according to video and comment on Twitter. It was a striking coda to the Democrats' heady ascendance to the House majority Thursday, sparking unusually public corrections from House veterans. So the ones that have been there and they've been playing the game and all that mm-hmm. stuff. Because you got to understand, so you go in with these ideals and whatever, they actually pay you a pretty decent amount. Like, Cressida Cortez, they were getting on her because she said she can't afford to live in Washington until her salary kicks in. So mm-hmm. she couldn't find a place because the rents were high. And, you know, D.C., Maryland area, like, it's very expensive. Yeah. Very, very expensive. And, as a House representative, she's going to make her first year $175,000. So you got the point I'm making is that these veterans, like, it becomes a thing where they want to keep their job. They want to keep their money. Mm-hmm. They want to keep getting, you know, there's no term limits on House of Representatives. Mm-hmm. So they can – this is their career now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's also that entire – you know, the scripture tells you a gift destroys the heart. So you go in with this intention, and then you've never made anything close to that type of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I was in banking making six figures, but it won 175 six figures at one time. You know what I'm saying?
Was that 101?
You know, maybe 1 year, 115. I don't know. You know, but you know, and in New York, that's like, you know, that's like nothing. So, but the point that I'm making is. You gotta see all the dynamics of what they do to you here, right? Mm-hmm. And it starts with this type of thing. And remember, I told you that they when we were talking about how when you go against the norms, when I was talking about that when we did the sociological thing, we were talking about norms and stuff like that.
Right.
They speak about you know, they do like a public shaming. They do like a public mm-hmm. type of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, they're at a point now where they're all gonna try to play ball together. I'm telling you, it's this whole. It's this tension, but they all operate like they have their own sense of guidelines and morality within that structure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're supposed to be – they're called reps, but they're representing their constituents, representing the people, but they don't. It becomes very highly personal, and it becomes about the collective's agenda mm-hmm. versus what the people really want to say, right?
Okay.
So it says, I disagree with what she said. Said House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler during a CNN interview. His committee would be the one to begin impeachment proceedings. It's too early to talk about that intelligently. So you see the little...
Mm-hmm.
He basically called her a freaking dumbass without saying it. Bro, they know how to talk, bro. They'll insult you and you don't know if you're going to thank them or be mad at them. He says it's too early to talk about that intelligently. We have to follow the facts. Newcomers routinely stumble as they learn how things are done on Capitol Hill. You see the cold talk in this? It started with the first line where it says the education of the star-studded class of House freshmen has begun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's telling you newcomers routinely stumble as they learn how things are done on Capitol Hill. You ain't coming in here with what your agenda was as a candidate. Now you're going to learn how this really operates. But Tlaib and her classmates have been celebrated in magazine profiles for their independence and their promises to stand up to the powers that be. By rebuking one, the more seasoned Democrats were effectively warning the others. I think some of our new members probably don't realize that you are always on, that when you are a member of Congress, there's always someone listening, said Rep. Jan Schakowsky. She says she hopes Tlaib's remarks aren't news for long. More than Tlaib's profanity, it was her vow to impeach Trump that drew her colleagues' disapproval. Tlaib's defiance flew in the face of Speaker Nancy Pelosi's warning to focus on policies the candidates had promised ahead of the November 6th elections. The timing also chafed just hours before congressional leaders were headed to the White House to try to resolve the standoff over the border wall Trump is demanding in exchange for reopening the government. Republicans pounced, using the occasion to question the Democrats' true priorities and Pelosi's leadership. With a tight smile, Pelosi rejected Tlaib's profanity in her impeachment vow because they're like, yo, don't fuck this up for me. Don't fuck this up for me. don't mess this up for me.
You affected my pockets. Hold on.
Yeah. This is not the position of the House Democratic Caucus. So they basically this is a very tactful way. See, we blacks, Hispanics, we'll just curse them out and we'll just tell them something nasty about them straight to the face. They are using all this, you know, tactful way of basically bringing them down. She says basically she's letting them know she don't speak for us. She may be part of the Democratic Party. You may have elected her, but she don't speak for all of us. And by extension, what they're letting you know is that, listen, you may be a minority in here, but we, the majority, as Edom, as the heathens, we run this ish.
That's right.
We run this ish, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something, all right? So let me read a couple more of these, and I'm going to jump to some scripture. It says, I don't think we should make a big deal of it, Pelosi said. Rep. Jerry Connolly served up a reminder to the new members that seniority rules in Congress. She's a freshman. It's her first day here. She went in front of an enthusiastic crowd of her supporters, and it was red meat for them. She yielded to that temptation. So it's letting you – you know what the temptation is? The temptation is that she wants to be that outspoken thing that got her elected, right? But they're telling her, no, you have to do the way we operate here. I'm sure upon reflection, Connolly suggested, she might choose other words to describe her feelings. That means they gave her the papal stick. Yep. Boom. Talk of impeachment remains in the air. Okay. It says Tlaib wasn't the only freshman who got a lesson in how one comment can upend Capitol Hill. Some of her classmates were pursued for reaction. Standard results when a political ally says something that raises eyebrows. I'm not talking about those things, laughed Rep. Abigail Spanberger when asked Friday to respond to Tlaib's remarks. She said she was elected because she talked about preserving health care. I'm not going to tell anyone else what to do, but certainly I think it would behoove all of us to really be working for the people who need Congress's help. Anyway, so I don't know. To me, like, someone would read that article and glaze over it, but I saw, like, so much, like, cold talk in there, you know? Yeah, yeah. So I want to read something. First off, you got to understand something, and this is where we're saying it's bittersweet when these people get elected, right? Are we good on comments?
Okay.
Get me Proverbs 3:31. We're going to start with that. You got to understand that this government's not set up for us, right? We've read the history of it. Maybe we'll get to it. I'll see how it flows, because I don't know the way the time is going. I might not get to the Ponce massacre now. I don't know. We'll see how it pans out. Let's see how much.
I know. We'll just see.
Read that.
Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 31. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways.
It says, envy not the oppressor. You have to understand that this government was set up by the oppressor. All right. It says, choose none of his ways. None. That means running for Congress is not the solution. Running for these positions in politics, you can go in with the best intentions. At one time, I thought that. Right. Because I loved New York. Right. I loved the Bronx. And I was like, man, you know, that's where I was born and raised. I said, I think maybe one day, you know, I'm going to get myself situated. This is when I was maybe like 28, 29. And I said, I'm going to position myself. I think I want to run for some sort of elected office in the Bronx. And I want to do stuff. And I'll start here and work my way up and do something. And that's the ignorance of youth. That's before I had the scriptures come to me and scratch the itch that I always knew was there, right? The question in my mind, what is the matrix, right? And you know, I always felt something was off, but I was struggling to do something. I said, damn, you know, I want to do something for, you know, my people here. And I thought that was the path. I learned afterwards via the scriptures that it's not. It says, envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways, meaning that's his way of fixing things. They tell you, let politics speak, whatever. I think of just now what popped into my head was Gangs in New York, where the barber gets elected, right? And then Bill the Butcher comes, and the barber's like, come on, you know, whatever, you know, because they would thug to settle their stuff. There would be a fight, and back then there was knives and stuff, and they would stab each other and kill each other, and that's how they settled the beef. So there's a scene where he comes out and he tells, look, you know, this guy wants to fight me, Bill the Butcher, after he won the election or whatever, and he goes, listen, why don't we come up here and speak out our differences and celebrate and do it the democratic way? Right. And as soon as he turns, he goes, okay. And as soon as he turns his back to walk up the stairs, and he gets him in the back, right? Yes. The point that I'm getting back to is that the whole thing is corrupt. It's telling you, envy not the oppressor, choose none of his ways. This is not the way for us to get fixed. We understand that it's through the scriptures. That's the only way. Because you first must understand, this is why people who foo-foo the Bible, who say the hell with that, there is no book out there other than these scriptures that can tell you why we went into captivity, how, what was the reason, by what manner, and what we must do to get out of it.
That's right.
We've never had those answers in our life. And out of frustration, it forced us to question God.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And say, why? What kind of God could do this? And then, because we rationalize, right? We make decisions emotionally, and then we rationalize them logically. We say, oh, because it's a white God. So it makes sense that a white God would be like this with people that aren't his.
Right.
But then when you understand that God is not a white God, that God is the God of the Israelites, who are the so-called blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans, those scattered to the four corners, right, that fit these curses. And you say, oh, it's not the book that's bad. It's not the message that's bad. Mm-hmm. It's the people that have been delivering it.
That's right.
And it's not coming out right. This is why it says, to whom shall he teach knowledge, right? To whom shall he give understanding? The Most High will open that up to them that start to keep the commandments first. That's the power of keeping these scriptures.
That's right.
You know, you get the itch and you say, damn, that makes sense. But you really don't start to grow roots into the ground until you start keeping these laws.
Right.
Right. And then you water it and, you know, with the studying, with the application, with the praying, you know,
experience,
all that stuff. And it comes into play. I want the one. I opened up right to it.
Oh.
I'm going to show you how this political system is not ours, that this is something that was set up by them. So when we read Envy Not Thou, the Oppressor, and Choose None of His Ways, we're not supposed to go and try to run for Congress and do those type of things. All right. Get me 1 Maccabees 8, and let's start at
First Maccabees chapter 8, verse 15.
Wait, hold on. No, I think I want you to start with 13, and I'll give a little context here, because he talks about that they start to tell you about how the Romans, right? Remember, the Greco-Roman area is a mishmash of two. Like, Rome never really conquered Greece. They kind of just melded together. Mm-hmm. And that's why they'll say Greco-Roman area. It wasn't a thing of conquest. Up until this point in history, every power that was in power and lost power was because of conquest. This was a different type of conquest. And this is why the scripture tells you that evils got multiplied, because mm-hmm. it became less about apparent open warfare, mm-hmm. which at least you can relate to that. It is what it is. I'm right. coming and I'm going to kill you face to face. Then they came up with all these crafty devices, like we read in 1 Maccabees, where he says, consent to the religion upon pain of death, mm-hmm. you know, leave up your own customs. So it says here, right, that he understood in verse 1, it talks about how they stirred how the Romans. They would accept all people that joined themselves unto them. This was the tactic. And, of course, who wouldn't want to go with you know, such a power that has such wealth and that had conquered mm-hmm. so much? So read verse 14.
Verse 14 or 13?
Start at 14. I'm sorry.
Verse 14. Yet for all this, none of them wore a crown.
So it's telling you, even because of all these great things, none of them wore a crown, right? This is the beginning of when you go from kings, monarchies, to what you have as democracy now mm-hmm. today, right? Go ahead.
Or was clothed in purple to be magnified thereby.
Right. So even with the president, none of them are magnified thereby. Mm-hmm. You have the checks and balances, which we understand behind the scenes is all BS. But I'm just talking about on the surface of what we know about government. Right. Go ahead.
Moreover, how they had made for themselves a Senate house.
A Senate house. Right. Go ahead.
Wherein the 320 men sat in council daily.
It says 320 men sat in council daily. Now, the numbers are not exact anymore today, mm-hmm. but I believe it's two senators per state, right,
yes.
with the exception of D.C. Senate. So you have roughly 100, right?
Yes.
And then the House of Representatives is like 200-something.
Depending on
right.
the
Right. So it's roughly within that range. Yeah, because the House, you get the number of representatives uh-huh. based on the number of constituents and stuff
right.
like that, right? So go ahead. Read on.
Consulting always for the people, to the end they might be well ordered.
Right. So it's telling you, think about this. This is the beginning of what you see today. It's evolved to what you see today in government. Go ahead.
And they, and that they committed their government to one man every year.
They committed their government to one man every year. So this was the
Caesar.
The beginnings of what we now call today a president.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and they committed, there was 1 year. Now you see it in America, it's 4 years. Some countries have different term limits and stuff like that, right? It says, so they committed their government to one man every year. This is a president. Go ahead.
Who ruled over all their country, and that all were obedient to that one. And that there was never envy.
There was neither envy
nor emulation against them.
Among them. Are you doing the old Bible? Yes, you old Bible brothers. Oh, my goodness. It says neither envy nor emulation among them, not against them.
Okay. Amongst them. In consideration of these things, Judas.
Okay, that was all I wanted. Okay. So it's telling you, right? This was the inception of that. So I went there to show you that when you read Proverbs 3:31, and it says, "Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways." That the government and running for government and being set up in that's not our custom. That's not for us. We don't do things like that, right? Get me. This is not a rest. Micah 2:10. Micah 2:10.
This is the book of Micah, chapter 2, and verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
So when it says arise ye and depart, don't mean flee the country. Don't mean there's no way you could go that America's influence. We were Psalms 83 tells you how they're all confederate against us. Mm-hmm. What it means is separate yourself from the customs of this place. Really, as much as you can, right? And you do that as much as you can by applying God's laws, all right? But you got to understand that this whole place is jacked up. It's out of course. We're going to get that next in Psalms 82 and 5, right? So it says, arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Meaning, don't choose these systems. This is elaborating, expounding more on Proverbs 3:31. Choose none of his ways. Mm-hmm. It don't just mean, sometimes, you know, that scripture we could say, don't blonde your hair because that's their ways. Mm-hmm. You know, don't deal with these type of customs that they have. But it also means as far as their government. And to the extent that we don't actively participate in things that we should not, right? Don't put yourself in a position where that gets put before God's laws and instruction. And we understand that the salvation doesn't come through politics because it's their ways. It's not going to work. So it says, arise ye, depart, for this is not your rest. Go ahead, read.
Because it is polluted.
Because it's polluted. The governmental system is polluted. We just read that in the article where it tells you the lesson, how as a candidate it's one way. And they said, you're going to understand that Capitol Hill don't operate like that. All these little underhanded code talk that they were giving to the new representatives. Hey, y'all need to slow your roll a little bit. I know the media's puffed y'all up. Social media got you thinking that you're hot shit.
That's right.
It don't work that way. The veterans hold this down. And that changing, and you know what? It's a perpetual thing because you go in with those intentions and then you get broken down and then you say, damn, this is my career now. This is this fat paycheck. Mm-hmm. What else am I going to do now? So you stay and you play the game. So you continue getting elected. And when it comes time for you to campaign, now you put on that representative, right? The facade in front. And you say everything that people want to hear, and it's just the freaking people are pretty much ignorant and common sense not so common. You fall for it again, and you wind up reelecting these people, especially when it comes to everybody focuses on president, vice president. They don't realize, right, the way the voting is set up, how these people wind up getting elected for a lifetime. How do you think you have a freaking 15-term senator or something like that, right? You know, or you know, house rep or something like that. Because most people, they're like, oh, well, the name's familiar, and they know nothing about it. They're not really actively involved in what they really want to happen. You know, it's supposed to be a government for the people, by the people, all that BS. It's nonsense. It's polluted. So read this again.
Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest.
Go ahead.
Because it is polluted.
And when something's polluted, it means it's tainted. You think you're going to go in and clean it up, drain the swamp. Mm-hmm. It's telling you, no, this thing is polluted. Go ahead, read.
It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction.
And it destroys them. The people go in with, that's what I'm saying. Like, I realized that when these scriptures came, I said, damn, I can't go and freaking run for office.
That's right.
I said, I'll go in with these good intentions, and I'm going to wind up just like the rest of them. Right? You can't roll that way. Give me Psalms 82 and 5.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 82 and verse 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness.
Right. And we walk on in darkness and we think the answer because of something in our spirit that wants to do something, because we lack a purpose and we say we got to do more. We need to be more. Right. Out of frustration. Right. And I'm going to remind me to express the pollution for you in a different way. It says they walk on in darkness. Go ahead.
All the foundations of the earth are out of course.
The way the world is set up now is out of course. This is all the foundations. So that means all the world's governments, all its ethics and morality is not fully rooted in anything. This is why in Colossians it goes back, rudiments, understanding what that word really means, which is why you had to beware of them, is that it's the appearance of something, but it's incomplete. Mm-hmm. The foundations are out of course, right? It's like when you're putting together like a jigsaw puzzle, right? And, you know, you're trying to fit these pieces together, and it's not so clear until the picture is almost fully complete, right? But in the beginning, it's a struggle, right? And it looks like it goes there, but it doesn't. And then you might, mm-hmm. you know, try to squeeze it in there or something
right.
like that.
Right.
And it isn't until you get the full understanding and you separate yourself, this is not your rest, get a higher level view, that thing is almost complete, that it starts to become more evident and easier where the pieces go. Right. That's the same type of understanding that you wind up getting in these scriptures. But you can never get that unless you're out here. If you're in the mix, if you're in the mix of it, you're not going to be able to see it clearly.
Right.
And this is the pollution that it's speaking about. All right. The pollution is dealing with how it pulls you in. It's deceptive. You think you're going to do something with it. And then you wind up getting dirty and you wind up getting tainted because you don't realize that the foundations are out of course. This is why it says you will not understand. You walk on in darkness. All the foundations are out of course. We can never forget that. And it's easy sometimes for us because why? It's the way they set it up. We benefit from a lot of things, right? Everybody's over here waiting for their tax returns. I know I'm seeing all the funny memes that no tax returns until the wall's built.
Yeah.
You got people
yeah.
building the wall. Hey, but you want to know something? That would be the spirit of many of our people,
yep.
right? It's standing bold. No, no, you're being wrong with them. Oh, I ain't get my income tax? Here, I'll help you build that wall. Keep them out. Not if it affects me. I got to guess mine.
That's right.
I got to guess mine first.
So I say it's from the least to the greatest, all of our people are given over to covetousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the spirit we have.
Right, right. And covetousness manifests itself in a lot of different ways. Some covet power, preeminence, money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always material things, covetousness, right? So it's different things. So it says this is not your rest. So now watch this. Get me Isaiah 30:1. Isaiah 30:1.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 30 and verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. Take counsel, but not of me.
It says we are rebellious children by nature, and we take counsel, but not of the Lord. We take counsel of choosing the oppressor's ways, mm-hmm. choosing that polluted way that the scripture tells us the foundations are out of course, and say, I'm going to run for government. And I'm going to sit on the Supreme Court, and I'm going to sit in the House of Representatives, and I'm going to affect change. What did Obama do for any of us? Lest we remind you, right?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. You finally got one, and then what? Why? Because he had to play to the establishment.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Right? Go ahead, read.
But not of me, in that cover with a covering. But not of my spirit.
The covering of the government.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use this. It's the example I gave you in Gangs in New York,
mm-hmm.
where he goes, let's settle this the democratic way. And then he got stabbed in the back literally for it.
Yeah.
He says, let's settle this the democratic way. It's polluted. It says he was so caught up in that he wound up. Because this dude was from the streets. He had the little things on his club of people that he would take out,
mm-hmm.
and he fell for it.
Yep.
Bro, because you remember when he goes to him, and I know it's Esau, but you got to take that out your head and look at it spiritually. They went to him, and he was like, me? He basically told them, no, man. He goes, I'm from the streets. Like, I'm not a politician.
Yeah.
And they made him believe that he could be something other. And well, he could be something other than he was, but they made him believe that everybody else would see him for that. And that he would be okay for that. And at the end, again, it's all figurative. He got stabbed in the back for it because he trusted in a polluted system.
Yep.
Where if he would just kept his guard up, he would have been able to handle the dude.
Mm-hmm.
Cause he was a big dude, bro. That yeah. Bill the Butcher wasn't gonna kill him. You know what I'm saying? He would have took him head on. He would have took him out.
That was a good movie, man.
It was. That's a great movie. It's one of those where it's like it could be on at any point
yeah.
on the TV, and
yeah,
I'll watch it. It's long, bro. It's long.
That was good.
But that thing would get you going. Anyway, so it says, with a covering, but not of my spirit.
That they may add sin to sin.
And they add sin to sin. They add sin because they choose the oppressor's ways. They add sin because they get themselves up into this. And then it starts off where little by little they chip away at your ideals. And you go in and you say, I'm going to do this for my people. And they tell you, okay, well, you know what? You got to agree to this, this, and this first, and then maybe we'll do that. And then the time comes and that deal don't happen. And little by little, pieces of you just gets taken away until you just become a cog in the machine of what this out of course foundations are. And you just vote with that. And so that's why I say it's bittersweet, right? You see them and you go, wow, that's great. But then you realize, damn, but this is, they're entering something polluted. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be able to do much in there. And if they do, it's political suicide. They have a term for it. It's political suicide. You stand up that way, you either will not get reelected or they'll figure out a way to get you out. Yep. And then the thing is, you can't do anything by yourself. You need votes. You need people behind you. So it's all a fallacy of how you're going to get in there. And supposedly you're electing a voice, but your voice is powerless to do anything unless you have a certain number of people to play ball with you. Go ahead, read on.
That walk to go down into Egypt.
It says they walk to go down into Egypt. Into what? Let me run for office. Let me jump on these things. Go ahead.
They have not asked at my mouth.
But they don't consider or have never asked and seek the scriptures to say, hey, what does the Bible say about these things? Mm-hmm. How can this be the answer to my people's ills? Right? Go ahead.
To strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh.
I'm going to be stronger by being a congressman, by being the president, by being
That's
a senator.
Right.
Go ahead.
And to trust in the shadow of evil.
And I'm going to trust in this political system that the Bible tells me is polluted mm-hmm. and is out of course. Go ahead.
Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion.
It's your shame. Look at how they shame these sisters that are trying to speak out, and they all got to play ball. And it says your trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion, because this is that process of where they take pieces of you away. Mm-hmm. So that you won't do what you would really want to do with your intention and be that voice and be that strength and try to put that thing together. It says, their strength, Pharaoh, will be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. And this is where they become totally parts of, like I said, a cog in the machine, yep. a cog in the establishment, and they forget. Get Lamentations 4:17. And then we, the effect that it has on us is that we sit there and we're saying, okay, we got people in there now. And then, but if you understood the scriptures, one of them's a damn dyke. What fellowship, right? Have light with darkness, and we know that that's the unfruitful works of darkness. Go ahead, read.
Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 17. As for us, our eyes have yet failed for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us.
It says, "As for us, our eyes has yet failed for our vain help." Help, meaning it's useless. The help of what we're waiting on for the government to do something. Listen, marching, protesting, those are all things where you're saying, hey, let the government, all right, if I bring this attention, the government will save me. The government will do that stuff. They say that's a vain help. Anything that they put forth, it's not going to give you what you need. It says, and in our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us. You got something you want to bring up?
Yeah. Give me Isaiah 43 verse 11. All right. Just a precept with Lamentations 4:17 as to why it's vain. All right, our again, just like Captain Yashua said, we see our people get put into different positions, and it gives us some kind of sense of hope that they're doing the right thing for our people, but it's all polluted, and this is why it's vain. Read that.
Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 11. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no savior.
So there's only one savior. There's only one solution, and that's the Lord. Coming back and serving him in sincerity and in truth, all right? Nothing else is going to profit us. You can put people in office all you want, but the solution is right here. He tells you, I am the Lord, besides me, that there is no Savior.
Right.
So it's all vain watching for a people that can do nothing
right,
for us.
Right. And this is why in Isaiah 30, it tells you, it says, that will be your shame. Mm-hmm. That'll be your confusion going into that stuff. Because why? You see, oh, okay, we got this Native American woman that's in Congress. She's a woman, whatever. And then she's a dyke. And then this is the same government that the Bible tells you that, all right, it should be man and woman,
right.
Not man and man and woman and woman. But this government that you're trusting in is telling you that this is all right and this is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not okay. And this is how you see, that's the pollution of it. That's the, that pollution has a lot of levels to it. I know a lot of times, Sam, let me tell you, the power in the scriptures is incredible because you can look at it from an individual standpoint and you can see it from a world sense every time you look at it.
That Psalms 82 and 5 about how all the foundations are, of course, is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's super heavy. It's letting you know there's literally nowhere you can go or nothing that you can do. Everything is set up the way it's supposed to be set up. There's one solution: coming back, serving God in sincerity and truth. That's it.
That's it. That's the only solution because nothing else has ever worked. There's another one I want to get. Where it says esteemed as the potter's clay?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's
is that Romans 9?
Yeah. No, that's
because I know they say something about the potter there.
Isaiah 29. I'm in Jeremiah.
No.
Yeah, Isaiah 29, verse 16.
Okay, let me get that. Isaiah 29 and 16. Start at 15.
Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 15. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark.
And that's the stuff that you see in the politics, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not really in the dark if you're awake, because like I said, a common person would have read the article we read and be like, hey, you know, this is like this, this is like that. But we that are not in the dark are able to see and read between the lines of what's on there, right? It says, woe unto them, all right, who seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. Ahead.
And they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth
us? And this is the whole behind-the-scenes thing that's going on in there that they do, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, read.
Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay.
It says your turning of things upside down, your foundations that are out of course, it'll be esteemed as the potter's clay, meaning it's going to be real easy for the Lord to flip that thing and change it. Go ahead, read.
For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not.
So it's saying that these other nations that have turned things upside down, that have put the foundations out of course, that have polluted this world, it says that he's comparing them to the work that the Most High put. So basically the potter is the Most High, mm-hmm. and they're the clay.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, understand, even though this is like this, I set it up to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that they actually have some power. They believe that their arms are long enough to box with me.
Right.
But it's not. They don't understand that I'm in control of all of this. So he said, shall the work, these heathen, right, in this context that we're speaking about, shall they say to the Most High, you didn't make me? I'm doing this of my own volition? Remember, the scripture tells you, and is it in Romans, where it talks about he's the ministers. He puts the governments up to be the ministers of judgment. Or punishment. I'm jacking it up. We'll read it in a second, right? But he says, he made me not. Go ahead, read.
Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding.
So he's letting you know that they have this pomp. They believe that they're like that. You got that in Romans, the one that I was talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, read that. No, stay there. Go ahead, read that real quick.
Just that part about the minister?
Start above it so that you can understand, so that we know it's talking about governments.
Romans chapter 13, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
For rulers are not a terror to good works.
Right. So even though we know all this and how it's polluted and the governments are jacked up and everything like that, the reason it don't phase us one way or the other, as long as you don't fall for that okie doke, you won't be confused. So long as you don't make Pharaoh your strength and trust in the shadow of Egypt, you won't be ashamed. You won't be confounded. It says, but understand that rulers are not a terror to good works, meaning those that are keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. All right? Because you're going to understand, let me operate the way I need to. This is captivity. I'm not going to try to rebel against these powers because I know God set them up. Go ahead.
But to the evil, thou then not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
So he's telling you that these governments, these sort of policemen, the congressmen, all of that stuff, he is the minister of God. The point that I wanted from that is when you go back and you read in Isaiah 29:16, and it talks about, shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not. He's letting you know that God is the one that's using them to do these things. He's doing it. This is why, you know, you really got to look at it. Yes. Esau disgusts me in the things that they do. These are the nations, right? We have that anger in what they've done. But if they're the minister of God, they're just really doing what they're supposed to do. Now, I'm not saying you let that go and that you embrace them or whatever, right? But what I'm saying is that your real attention should be focused on what you can change and what you can control. And that starts with yourself and these applications of these scriptures. And then going to what? Push your people to apply this too, so that they can do that as well. So that if it's meant for them, Most High water and wake that up in them and they move forward. So the real issue is us. Mm-hmm. None of this would have ever come upon us if we didn't just do what we needed to do.
That's right.
And maintain in that. So it's not them. We can't be the point I guess I'm really trying to make is that we can't have a victim mentality. This is all our fault. And what's happening to us is just. This is why he says that it's their ministers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't want that. Let me go. I don't think I'm going to get to the Ponce thing. Maybe not, because we only got like 22 minutes.
That's how it be. That's how it be sometimes.
So going with that same thing in polluted, this is one of my favorite scriptures. Give me Romans 8:19. Start at 18.
Start at 18?
Yeah, Romans 8, 18.
Chapter 8 in verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
And you know what? He's telling you, listen, man, even though these times are rough, even though these things that we bring out, we don't bring this out so that you could feel sad, woe is me.
Mm-hmm.
We bring it out to bring awareness to you, like kind of you were saying in the beginning, especially for those of our people that can't see, that feel like they can't identify.
Right.
We bring this out for so that they have something so that they can see that the scriptures are real. And to take that thing out the head that, remember, we said you start to question God, you start to say whatever, and then you say, well, because it's a white God, so of course a white God would treat us like this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. You have to understand that this is the only thing that's not polluted. You're just confounded because you're trusting in the shadow of Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're trusting in the strength of Pharaoh. So you're confounded and you can't see it for what it is. This is the only lack of pollution in this present world is these scriptures. But they've been delivered to you in a polluted world, and you're so tainted that it's hard for you to see it. And we understand by what? Psalms 19:7, that the cleansing happens by keeping the laws. This is why I said
That's
it
right.
goes back to your interest is piqued in the understanding of who you are, and you start to clean yourself, and cleaning is a process. And since you're walking through a polluted place, guess what? That means you got to continually clean yourself because you're always going to get dirty.
That's right.
You're always going to get dirty. So staying in these laws, walking in that, and then it just goes all the way back to Psalms 111:10.
Yep.
Right? A good understanding of all they that do it. And stop trusting in these other things. So he says, even though this place is that polluted and messed up, he goes, it's nothing compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So as bad as this place may be, the reward is that much better.
Right?
Read on.
For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
So he's letting you know, and you know, I go to this scripture pretty often because it's so powerful to me when you think about it. Because when you understand in Psalms 82:5 that the foundations are out of course, that the whole thing is messed up, you read in Isaiah 29 that the turning of the clay will be turned upside down, right? It'll be esteemed as the potter's clay. He said, the earnest expectation of the creature, meaning every single living thing that the Most High created, from plants to the animals to the fish in the sea to the birds in the sky, they wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. And that tells you a couple things. It tells you that the sons of God have not yet been revealed.
That's right.
All right? And that when they are, this is that reckoning, that glory that shall be revealed in us. He says the whole earth is going to rejoice in that. The whole earth. Read on.
For the creature was made subject to vanity, but willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope.
I'm sorry. Hold that 1 second. Hold that. We're going to go right back to them. I'm going to have you read that again. Get Isaiah 14:7.
Yeah,
I was looking for it. Oh, you should have said it. I was looking for it.
No, I was just thinking like, right when you said it.
That's what the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God mean. This is the precept for that. Isaiah 14:7.
Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 7. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fire tree.
The fir trees.
The fir tree rejoice at thee, and the cedar of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come upon us.
So it's letting you know this is that glory which is going to be revealed to us. And he's saying the whole earth will be at rest when the manifestation of the sons of God take place. And it's quiet. And it says it breaks forth into singing. So if you think that you appreciate the sun, the moon, the stars, the sound of birds chirping now, it's nothing. That's like muted. That's nothing compared to how it's going to be when we get to the kingdom and things are right. It's going to be like sweet. It's going to be like a freaking Disney film, bro. And the birds are going to come down. You're going to be, woo, you're going to be, you know, we can't even fathom what that's going to be like. And it says, and they break forth into singing. You think you hear something now. And says, no. Wait till the whole earth is quiet, right? And this heathen is gone. And we have the rulership. And it says, yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee. You know, you gotta expound that and think about that. He says fir trees here, but think about it. You know how we talk about how the food doesn't yield the way it yields and all that other stuff like that? Yo, can you imagine how good a grape is going to taste in the kingdom based on this? Because if you understand, pick whatever it is your favorite thing to eat that's not processed, right? Mm-hmm. So, and think of something natural, like a fruit or a vegetable or whatever that you're really into. That's not the real taste. This place is polluted. It's out of course. The creature is not yielding forth what it really wants to yield forth until we are made manifest. Mm-hmm. So this is why he says, bro, what you're going through now compared to what's going to come, you're going to forget the bad, bro. You're going to say, damn. This is why you can't say that this is your rest. There is nothing here in this earth that is better than what's waiting for us if we're able to make it into the kingdom. There isn't. And that's hard to wrap your mind around. Think of whatever it is your favorite damn thing is in this whole freaking world. And as great as that thing may be, understand that in the kingdom, it's going to be that the more. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because, right, we're people that we need instant gratification and all that stuff like that. So it's difficult for us when we look at that thing. And so it says, the fir trees rejoice. The cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no fella come up against us. Meaning, we ain't going to be chopping these things down, destroying the rainforest, the different things that they do. It ain't going to happen that way. Now go back, read Romans 8:19.
Romans chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectations of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, but willing.
Not willingly. So it's letting you know that it's the same thing. Like how dare the heathen, when you read in Isaiah 29, able to act with the Most High, like they not the creation, but that they're the creator. But it says, you got to understand, the creature was made subject to vanity, meaning not willingly. Okay, go ahead.
Not willingly, but by reason of him who have subjected the same in hope.
Read on.
Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God.
So everything that I was just saying about the grapes, about the birds singing better and everything, it's telling you that the creature itself, the creation, the creature just means the creation. Mm-hmm. He's telling you the whole creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. It's telling you that whatever you find beautiful in this work, it's like the first time I looked at my high-def television. And you're like, whoa, I didn't realize how bad my other high-def TV was until I got this new high-def TV. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it looks better than real life, the colors and stuff that pop off onto you. So it's telling you that the creature itself is in bondage, and when it's in that glorious liberty, because the manifestation of the sons of God, it's going to be that much more. That's why I say the fruit will taste better, the food will taste better, everything will yield forth more, stuff is going to sing to you more. When you walking around worried about a lion eating you, you're going to be like, what's up? You know what I'm saying? Lion gonna take a little walk with you, and trot with you a little bit. You know? Go ahead, read on.
For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Understand, the whole creation is in pain with us. It's in pain with us, right? And it says, for we know, but a lot of our people don't know, and we forget this. You have to understand, and now you know, that the whole creation is also suffering with us. It's not manifested. What is it? Well, just think about the Garden of Eden and what that was and how that was taken away. If we were made to be gods and be immortal, then you have to understand that we were given immortal fruit. We were given immortal, like the stuff was just another level that we cannot comprehend. The glory of it, we will not be able to fathom until that day comes. We need to be changed in order to receive that. Go ahead, read.
And not only they, but ourselves also, with which have the first fruits of the Spirit.
Because the law applies to us, right? So it says we have the first fruits of the Spirit. Go ahead.
Even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Even us, this is why this is not our rest. This place is polluted. We cannot trust in the shadow of Egypt and in the power of Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. It says because we have to remember that we are waiting for the adoption of sons, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's what that means. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm saying. We can't receive and fathom what that thing is going to be like now. We have to be changed in that. Go ahead, read.
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope.
Right. If you can see the salvation and it's right there, then there's no need to hope for it. It's manifest. So the power of hope is that we can't see it, and then that carries over into faith. Right. Go ahead.
For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?
Right. Once you have something, right, you feel better about the car you want to buy before you buy it. And then after a while and you have it for a little bit,
yeah,
you're like, okay, it's just the car.
Right.
Right. Because you got it already now. So there's no hoping for anything. Right. Go ahead. Read.
But if we hope for that we see not, then do we have patience, wait for it.
So if we hope for what we see not, he says, then with patience we must wait for it, right? So that's all I wanted on that. Understand, man, I'm not going to get to a lot of this stuff. I didn't think I would spend so much time on the political thing.
No, man. It's good, though. It's good.
Damn. That's crazy. Y'all got any other thoughts? Hey, this mic's not working good, so I know Parium joined us. So if you want to, yeah, maybe pass him over that one.
Hey.
Oh, one, two. Oh, yeah, don't spill my water on my planner, all right? That's like my new thing.
Hey, Shabbat. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, Shabbat Shalom, everybody.
That's it? I want to give you a mic?
No, no. When it's talking about... You were reading about the fellows.
Uh-huh.
I know you touched on it, but for those of you that don't know, that's basically a lumberjack, okay? And it's talking about...
Oh, the feller, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. The feller, yeah. And that's talking about how... That's just, an ancient word or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lumberjack.
To fell something, right. To cut it down.
Right,
yep.
And even in that aspect, I bring that up because of this, because they always talk about go green, right? Got to go green because Esau, man, The accounts from Bartolomé de las Casas is that they consumed more than like one Spaniard consumed more than like a whole family. You know, mm-hmm. They just destroy the Most High God created. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you just got to be just little things that are in the scriptures, man, that you just picture it in your mind about what it's really saying. But at the end of the day, I was laughing to myself when you said that because it reminds me of... Zippity-doo-da. That's how we're all going to be with
Zippity-doo-da.
And that was something, right? That was like the first animation. He was singing that because the bird was on his shoulder.
Sunshine coming my way.
Hey, it's so bad now, man, that pigeons don't even move out the way when you're driving.
Bro,
I remember
up,
when I was
bro.
A kid, they used to fly away, man. They just want to die. They're done. They're tired, man.
They flying into your car.
They
now.
Fly. Hey, a bird flew into my car a couple weeks back, man. I said, I don't understand this thing, man. Like he didn't even attempt. He just like I'm going in. He probably left his will and everything, bro. He just crashed. So everything's all out of course, man. You know, you see. I mean, it's just crazy, man. You know, that's it.
Yeah, man. The scripture tell you the whole creation. I love that. Romans 8 is crazy, man. But I especially love verse 19, man, because and even 18, because it makes me think of one of my other favorite scriptures in Wisdom of Solomon 5, where it talks about the revelation. And they say, oh, damn, these are them that we had in derision, that we sometimes had in derision and all this. That revelation, man, when they see like, oh, snap. Because some of them, yeah, remember, we've said this before. It's really only the higher upper echelon that really know who we are and you know, what it means if we keep the commandments, like in Judah 5, right? Mm-hmm. But the rest of them actually believe that they're – this is why it says what we read in Isaiah 29, that they actually think like they mm-hmm. – that they run shit, you know? Their faith, even as Christians in religion, right? When I say Christianity, you know, I mean the religion, is really predicated on their pomp and their white supremacist view. And this is why – most, not all, because you still have some that they don't want, you know, they don't want a kingdom with us in it. But you have some that actually do believe that, yeah, I do want blacks and Hispanics with me. But they actually think it's going to be the same, not equal.
Right.
I'm telling you. Right. And if you ask them on the surface, no. But within themselves, they can't help it because that's how they were made. This is why he says, can the clay say to the potter,
why you made me this way? No, they ain't got no power in that. I have no understanding. Can the thing framed say of it, I have understanding? Yeah, he have no understanding? No. The Most High knows exactly how he made it and for what purpose. This is why I read what we read in Romans about he made them to be ministers of whatever he wants them to be.
Hey, those Edomites that say that, man, those are the ones that they just try to play the lotto every day. They just be happy, man. They're like, yeah, because they think that they're going to be like on top. Like, yeah, we'll take blacks and Hispanics.
Oh,
you know what
man.
I mean? Hey, can I touch a sign on you?
Yeah,
you
no, go ahead.
Go back
I'm
to
good.
Romans.
I think
Romans
I'm spent.
8 and 19 again. and Cap touched on it, but I want to really, really hit that home.
The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Now, we all know that the Jews, the real Jews, were walking the earth at this time, right? And we also know that you got the Amalekites and the fake Jews with the curls and all that stuff, or those are the Weinsteins and Steins and Steinbrenners and all of that, that claim that they're the Jews.
Right?
But the scripture here, and the captain brought it out, you got to really, really meditate on that. For those that have any doubt that the real that those are the Jews. Because now that we debunk that all the time, that they're not the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we say it all the time that we are the Jews. You have to look at all of this. In the Bible, throughout the whole Bible, it's numerous, multiple clues, okay, that number one, they ain't the real Jews. So if they're not, who is? Deuteronomy 28 and all the other books that we've brought out on this show and we bring out in our classes online and our headquarters classes, prove who the real Jews are.
Right.
The Bible, if you really... repent, okay? Because again, right? If you fear God, right? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're gonna start getting the true wisdom of your true nationality. You're gonna start realizing that yeah, no, Puerto Ricans, African Americans, Jamaicans are not in the Bible under those names.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a nation that falls under those same characteristics, and that nation is the nation of Israel. Okay, so it says they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, that means this is probably they're still waiting for that time to come for when the true kings, 144,000 of men, 12,000 from each tribe, okay, get sealed, okay, with this word, all right, and with the law, statutes, and commandments, and go ahead and start ruling. Okay. Rightful place of rulership.
Right. The scripture says that the true Jews in the last days would be in poverty, trials and tribulations, right? You don't say nothing about owning the New York Yankees or the Diamond District.
That's a good point.
Things like that. So this scripture is super heavy, and Captain brought it out. He said this lets us know that the sons of God have yet to be made manifest. So like you were saying, all those people walking the earth talking that they're the Jews, it's all BS.
But what about this? The whole doctrine of that the 10 tribes are lost.
Right.
So then that means that makes this prophecy moot,
mm-hmm.
right? Because according to them, they lost. So you could say, oh, the argument, oh, whatever. But you see, there's no, you can't refute this Bible. You could try to go, because I tried when I first my first repentance, because I wanted to make sure, you know, I don't go into things blind,
right?
And I wanted to make sure that I was this is for real,
mm-hmm.
okay? And every way I turned to try to debunk it, I couldn't. And I did a lot of research, and I couldn't. I was like, "Damn, this is the truth.
Yeah, this is the real thing. This is it."
You know, so I mean, this is a banger right here, man.
That was good.
I love that scripture.
Romans 8:19 is good. He uses the word earnest expectation.
Ooh, earnest, man. That's a heavy word in and of itself.
Yo, like, please, just get your together, please.
So you know, I got to look it up now, right? Because you said earnest, right?
Naturally.
Serious in intention, purpose, or effort. Sincerely zealous. That means not only are they excited, like that's their devotion. They're like, oh, they rooting for us. Bro, them trees, them birds, them pigeons, they rooting for you.
Yo, in Baruch, it says that the stars tremble when God calls them to like do their office.
The stars tremble.
It's just insane. So then you read something like this, and it's like, yo, they're just like,
hey, look at some synonyms. Fervent, purposeful, determined, ambitious, resolute, serious, having qualities of depth and firmness. Like they're like, but he's like, yo, the creation's on your side, man. They rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
They rooting for you.
Yeah, they're tired of beating us.
Right.
They're like, I don't really want to eat you, bro.
Right.
You don't get your stuff right. I'm going to have to bite you behind.
We're like, listen, man, I'm just doing what the Most High said.
He said,
I got to eat you now. Oh, man. Oh, praises. Anyway, all right. So that's like 4 minutes on the Blog Talk side. So we could just start the wrap-up process. Oh, praise to the Most High. Pardon went in today, man.
Oh, you don't know what happened.
Oh, man. All praises, man. I tell you, I came with like 3 different thoughts that I wanted to address on the show, but I guess the spirit took us somewhere else as we went through it. So
that's how it goes.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. I just had to change the title on the freaking Facebook. I got to see if I can fix it on the Blog Talk too, because we wound up doing a different
thing.
I heard
you can.
Yeah, I think so. So I just got to go in and kind of edit it and edit the name of it so that it's more appropriate. Because, yeah, I didn't touch on any of that stuff.
So it was like last week.
Yeah, exactly. I went somewhere else.
Because I asked him. I said, I heard you were talking about New Year's. I said, did you get to talk about Lost Tribes and Promised Lands? He's like, no. So we should probably go in and change it and just talk about New Year's.
All right, I will today.
Yeah,
will.
Fix it up. Yeah, all right, okay. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's the show. Are you you're going to be broadcasting next week?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. If it's good on the ship, maybe we'll do it. I'll let you know.
I don't know if we're going to have time. That itinerary looks fierce.
No, Saturday. There's nothing really popping on Saturday until the afternoon. So
he said fierce.
I packed light.
Yeah. So, yeah? Nah, I never pack light. I always overpack.
Not on something like
I
that.
I try to be precise. I always bring extra underwear and socks.
Yeah, you got to rack up on that, man. You never know. An accident.
Yeah, you gotta get popping.
Bad look, man. You got no way to get nothing either from you walking around.
Nah, I mean, you know, you get off on one of the islands and you could.
I get one of the boats.
Yeah, because I don't think they sell socks on the ship, man, or underwear. You got to get that. There ain't no Walmart in Honduras, you know, that I know of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
no. Man, those serious socks.
Yeah, man. We'll see what's up. Oh, well. All right, man. Well, that's the show. All right. We'll see. We will be broadcasting next week, but we'll see from where and how, and we'll go from there. So that's the Native Latin and Black Lost History Show. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom.